for WBAI in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, November 24th, 2014. A 20-year-old black man, Akai Gurley, was shot to death in an East New York public housing complex on Thursday evening by a rookie NYPD cop, Peter Liang. Gurley's 2-year-old daughter will never see him again. His 18-year-old sister called her brother an innocent guy walking down the stairs who was killed for no apparent reason.
She was right there with our brother in the hallway, and her life could have been taken also.
Saturday evening in Brooklyn, protesters marched from the shooting scene to the 75th Precinct and the police department office, which patrols housing developments. That's where former council member and assembly member-elect Charles Barron stood with Gurley's wife, who witnessed the shooting.
And he was innocent. He was not committing any crime. He didn't have any weapons on him. The both of them opened the door to simply go down the stairway. The police officer was on the 8th floor. She was on the 7th floor. As soon as they opened up the door, he fired a shot. And fired a shot and took the life of an innocent man. That's what it's about today. It's about Akai Gurley. It's not about anything else. It's about this.
The NYPD said the fatal shooting was an accident, but march organizers said there was nothing accidental about Gurley's shooting. They said this is the deadly consequence of the increasing militarization of the police from New York City to Ferguson and beyond. Gurley's death comes at a sensitive time with a grand jury weighing whether to bring criminal charges against another officer, Officer Daniel Pantaleo, in the chokehold death of Eric Garner. Thanks to citizen journalist James Woods for help with this report. And the nation is bracing for a potential announcement soon on whether an indictment will be handed up in the police shooting of an unarmed 18-year-old in Ferguson, Missouri. After five straight nights of protests in Ferguson, Missouri, anxious residents still didn't know on Sunday when a grand jury would reach a verdict, when they'd decide whether to charge the white police officer Darren Wilson, who shot an unarmed black teen Mike Brown to death on August 9th. The St. Louis suburb has become a flashpoint for U.S. race relations since the shooting. Protest leaders say they are preparing for nonviolent demonstrations, but they also acknowledge the risk of more unrest if the panel decides not to issue criminal charges against the white officer. Today, the 12-member grand jury resumes behind closed doors. Grand juries can meet for up to 6 months, but they don't usually meet every day as juries do in criminal or civil trials. The names of the jurors are kept secret, but St. Louis County court officials did say the panelists include a black man, 2 black women, 6 white men, and 3 white women. Grand juries don't decide guilt or innocence. They listen to evidence and decide if someone should be charged with a crime. They have to answer 2 key questions when they consider a case. Is there probable cause to believe a crime was committed? Is there some evidence to show that the accused person was involved in the crime? For the grand jury to indict Officer Darren Wilson in the shooting death of Mike Brown, at least 9 of the 12 jurors will have to say there was probable cause, reason to believe he could be found guilty of crimes that could range from second-degree murder to criminally negligent manslaughter.
My family and I are hurting. Our whole region is hurting. I thank you for lifting your voices to end racial profiling and police intimidation.
Mike Brown Sr. says with all the pain, he's thankful his son, even in tragedy, is making a difference. He's calling for calm.
Hurting others or destroying property is not the answer. No matter what the grand jury decides, I do not want my son's death to be in vain. I want it to lead to incredible change.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. New York City officials say a contract agreement has been reached for about 5,000 school custodians, a contract which stayed open under Mayor Mike Bloomberg. Local 891 and their employees, 32 BJ cleaners and handy persons. The nine-year agreement covers October 2007 through October 2016. It includes 18% in raises over the contract term and a $1,000 bonus. 32 Rhodes Scholars are headed to Oxford University next year. They include three from New York State. Joseph Barrett from Port Washington, who's focused on prison education and reform. Matthew Townsend of Chappaqua, whose special interest is obesity-related diseases. And Gabriel Zucker from Brooklyn. For the past year, he's been associate director of the Connecticut Heroes Project, a campaign to end veteran homelessness. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.